Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Three Angry Nerds podcast. You're probably wondering why I'm introducing and not Curtis. Because fuck it, I'm the one that's introducing this time, although Curtis is here.
Shut off the goddamn podcast at this point.
No, yeah.
I'm just kidding. Keep it
up. No, Just shut down the whole thing. We're just like, we've already ruined it. Alright, so if you've listened to the podcast before, you probably know me. I'm Carlos. I'm hosting today because of the fact that Curtis, even though he's here, Curtis is not here. He's across the sea.
I'm up a bunch mentally, is what he's trying to say.
Curtis is in Scotland, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Because you see, Curtis got married.
Yeah.
And yeah, so now he's in Scotland for whatever reason. But yeah, so he basically...
Normally furloughs, I don't know if you know these things about weddings, but normally you get married and you have a honeymoon.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I got that far. Okay? Alright. But anyway, he's doing that, so now I'm going to be taking over hosting duties, at least for this episode, because I have equipment and stuff. And I guess he could technically get equipment, but whatever, man.
Well, technically, I wasn't even going to do the podcast, because it was a decree from my newly appointed wife that during our honeymoon, I was not to podcast. And then I was looking, and I'm like, oh, they're about to podcast. And she was, like, fast asleep. I'm like, oh, fuck it. She won't know that I did it.
Yeah, so now we're doing it. Okay, so it's basically going to be the same as whenever me and Curtis do our double act, but it's just I'm going to be leading. I have all the news, I have the emails, and whatever, man. Let's just go ahead and get started. So, I just wanted to, I guess we should get this out of the way, is the fact that Fantastic Four reboot, everybody knows that it was on the way. It's technically getting released in North America tomorrow, although there's probably going to be some showings tonight. Curtis has actually seen the movie, because for some reason it was playing in Scotland. But we're not going to do a full review on it, because I haven't seen it yet, so that's probably going to be next episode. Well, it's definitely going to be next episode.
I'll just say this, like, I'm not going to obviously, like, say my full thoughts on the film, but I'm just saying, like, if you look on the web and you see most people's thoughts, mine are probably, like, fully much more pessimistic than what those people said, so... Do you think they were being negative on the film? Just wait to hear what I got to say.
Yeah, I guess that's the first piece of news, and it's probably the biggest piece of news this week. It probably completely overshadowed everything else, is the fact that the review embargo was set for the day before it got released. So, like, what is it, yesterday would be from recording. But the day before, on the 4th, the embargo was broken by, like, some of the big trades, like Hollywood Reporter and Variety. And really, what's Fox going to do? Are they going to yell at them? Like, they can do what they want. And apparently the reviews came in, and it has been trashed by critics.
Like,
just absolutely trashed. It is currently, as of, like, right now, it's at 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. 9.
Shit.
Do you know what has a higher rating on Rotten Tomatoes? Elektra at 10.
I was going to say Spirit of Vengeance, but something tells me it's probably pretty close.
Yeah, like, I think Spirit of Vengeance is also pretty close. But I'm saying is that Fantastic Four is one of the worst-reviewed movies on Rotten Tomatoes. One of the worst-reviewed comic books, comic book movies in general. It has a lower score than Batman and Robin, I'm pretty sure. So, not that Rotten Tomatoes is, like, a science, but come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Right, like, it's just getting trashed, and even the handful of positive reviews that I've seen, I think there are like 8 positive reviews, and yeah, 8 positive so far, 8 positive reviews and 85 negative reviews. So 8 positive reviews, even the positive ones that I've read, pretty much all of them make excuses for it. They're like, you know, it's like it's okay, it could have been done better, blah blah blah. Right, it's usually like 3 out of 5. They're like, you know, it has a lot of potential, but, you know, they didn't quite realize it or whatever. Again, like, just making excuses and not even really, like, saying, like, I only saw one that said, like, the movie's actually really good, but it was Devin Faraci, so it was actually Devin Faraci whose review was like, this movie's actually pretty good, so we don't trust.
Yeah, I saw his review.
We don't trust
it,
Devin,
like,
Faraci's cat here on the,
like,
Three Angry Nerds podcast.
What are you talking about? Like, this movie, like, and, you know, I know reviews are subjective, but, like, I don't know, you might agree with me on this, but I feel like a lot of people who are reviewing this movie, like, they're taking into account factors that, like, totally aren't really factors. Like, they'll be like, oh, well, you know, it's a bad movie, but it's not as bad as other movies out there, and I'm like, yeah, but we're not comparing it to other movies.
You know what I
mean? We're reviewing it as its own thing. Like,
yeah, you're supposed to focus on it as, like, what does it do, and how well does it do it? Not like, oh, you know, but it's not as bad as something. I'm like, no, that's not how you review a movie.
Like, I'm not going to look at it and be like, and you know what, like, you know, sure, you can maybe make some mild comparisons, but, like, if all you're doing is like, oh, it's not as bad as other movies out there. And it's like,
I feel like you can make comparisons if you're talking about something specific. Like, if you're talking about, like, oh, like, for example, how does one version of a character compare to another version of a character in a different movie? Like, that's something worthwhile. But if you're just saying, like, the entire movie, like, it's better or worse than something else, and I'm like, that's just way too general, and then you're not really even talking about it as a film anymore. But we're getting off track. What I wanted to just go ahead and say is that the big news is that the reviews have come in. It's gotten absolutely trashed by critics. And it looks like general audience interest in this movie is low. It's technically still tracking to make around a 40 million weekend debut, but I'm thinking that that's going to end up going a lot shorter because, like, the entire internet is aflame with this movie. The entire internet, the entire social media sphere is just, like, everyone's talking about it, everyone's talking about how terrible it is. Like, there are a handful of people who are like, I gotta see it for myself, I don't trust critics, blah blah blah, like those people. But come on, that there's not going to be enough of those to salvage it. I'm actually thinking that honestly Mission Impossible Rogue Nation might actually hold on to the number one spot. It's possible. So I'm thinking that Mission Impossible might just say fuck it and just steamroll Fantastic Four for a second weekend, and that would be poetic justice because I saw Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. I'm going to be doing a review about it after the news, and I really like that movie. Curtis, I'm pretty sure, did not see it.
I've not seen it, but I've seen amazing films like Fantastic Four.
Yeah, you see, so maybe you know what? I feel better because I saw Mission Impossible, Curtis saw Fantastic Four Stick. So you know what? I think I won out.
I do, like, I've been reading some of the comments on my review, and some of them are pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, like, Curtis did put out a review for Fanforstick on comicmovie.com, and you remember when he did his review for Jurassic World, he said that it got 1 out of 1 million Uncle Joeys. So I figured that, you know, it's probably going to get the same score. He said, no, this movie doesn't even get a single Uncle Joey out of a million. It breaks the Uncle Joey sale.
It's that bad.
It's that bad. He said, and I quote, he would rather pass a kidney stone than watch this movie again.
That's true. I would go through hours worth of pain rather than see that film again.
So if you're listening to us and you are considering going out to the multiplex this weekend, go see Mission Impossible. Rogue Nation, don't see Fantastic Four.
Or go to the hospital, say, hey, is there someone passing a kidney stone, and just watch someone do that and be like, this is...
That'll probably be a more entertaining experience than going to see the Fantastic Four reboot.
My host just said this is more entertaining than this film. I have to believe it on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are your options. See Mission Impossible or watch someone pass a kidney stone. Or, you know what? Pass a kidney stone yourself. That'll probably be more entertaining. But it also segues into our first bit of news for the week, which is also about Fantastic Four, but has nothing to do with the reviews. And this is hilarious in hindsight because this news article came out, like, right at the beginning of the week, right after we recorded our last episode. And it's the fact that the Fantastic Four cast was asked during an interview. They said, what type of characters would you be interested in seeing in a sequel? Which is not going to happen. A lot of people are thinking it's... A lot of the critics that I've read, they're like, we're thinking a review is not going to happen. Like, the box office analysts and, like the critics in their different reviews have said that they're thinking a sequel is just not going to happen. Hey, it's them. They're the movie expert people.
I have a theory. I don't want to derail Carlos's podcast, but I do think that what they're going to probably do is just tack on a whole new crew. So replace the director, probably put in Bryan Singer, because after Apocalypse, he's not doing much. And then they might keep Kinberg on just because he writes everything for Fox in terms of Marvel stuff. But yeah,
I love how people were like, okay, so we watched Days of Future Past and it wasn't completely terrible, so Kinberg is like a god now. And I'm like, no, Kinberg wrote Last Stand, he wrote this, and now he's writing Apocalypse. I'm thinking that Apocalypse might actually end up being really bad.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people give him more credit than probably is due, but thing is too, is like I feel like just like any writer, you know, he's only as good as the director that he gets paired with. So think probably Bryan Singer probably brings out a bit more in him than...
Well, a little Josh bit more Trank. Than Josh Trank did. Yeah, so anyway, but yeah, so about this, they were asked again, like, what characters would you be interested in seeing in a sequel, and their two answers were, Silver Surfer, so I'm like, okay, so they just want to repeat what they did last time, I guess. And then the other one they said was Namor, which was kind of interesting, because they don't have the rights to Namor. It's been well documented that Marvel has the rights to Namor, but Universal has the distribution rights to Namor, so... That's sort of why Namor's been a bit of a flux. I imagine that if Disney had the distribution rights, they probably would have put a Namor movie into, maybe not even production, but they would have like announced one, being like, "Oh, that's one we're really interested in doing." But either way, if they get a sequel, they're not going to have Namor in it. But I don't know, maybe they'll have the Silver Surfer in it. But who cares? Because it's their rendition would be terrible.
Well, I was saying this too to people, like, months ago, but, like, you remember that when Marvel was negotiating for Fox to keep the rights to Daredevil, they actually proposed that Fox give them just Silver Surfer and just Galactus.
Just those two.
Can keep Daredevil. And they said, like, flat out, no, you can rather have Daredevil. We want to keep Silver Surfer and Galactus. So something tells me that they have plans for those two characters. That's also that I think they're not going to just, you know, roll over and not do a sequel. Like, this movie's going to do bad or poorly.
But you also have to take into account that back then they didn't know how much of a disaster this movie was going to be, right? Or maybe they did, but they probably thought maybe we can actually do something with it. Now they're in an incredibly weakened bargaining position because the cat's out of the bag and everyone knows this movie's terrible. But I guess it all depends on how well it does at the box office this weekend, so we'll see.
And I mean, if, you know, it's kind of sad, but it's like, there's some guys in CBM chat who are like, oh, if it makes like 300 million, that'll be enough. Like, it's kind of sad, but I could see it like just keep it, you know, between 250 and 300 million, and then just being like, oh, that's enough, we'll make a sequel. I think the budget for the film was only like 120 million.
It was 130 production budget. We don't know how big the marketing budget was. I'm thinking the marketing budget at least took it to 200. So
yeah. You never know. I mean, they didn't really seem to market the movie that much, so it's hard to tell.
I guess technically, but I'm thinking that the marketing budget probably took it to at least 200. Then you also have to factor in the whole, like, what is it, like, the splitting costs with the theaters. So it might, if the marketing budget actually did take it to 200, it might need to make almost close to 400 just to break even. So that would be rough. let's try to stay on track here. So our next bit of news is a little bit, it goes back to the idea, because you mentioned just Daredevil. One of the things that's obviously coming up for Netflix is Luke Cage. You know, they're focused on sort of Jessica Jones, and they're focused on the, season 2 of Daredevil right now, but they're also putting together Luke Cage, and we got a little bit of a tidbit, that apparently the first villain that's going to be introduced, or at least the first villain that's going to be confirmed for the Luke Cage, series, which is going to be slated after Jessica Jones, is, a character named Cornell Cottonmouth. Now, if you've read any of Luke Cage's... this is the thing. You have to have read Luke Cage's old comics to know who these characters are.
That's such a racist name.
Yeah. Okay, have you read Luke Cage's first comic series, the Luke Cage Hero for Hire comics? They were, like, 100% 1970s blaxploitation, okay? They were not progressive at all. All the villains were like that. It's because, you see, I actually read that comic. I read that entire volume. So I remember a lot of these old, like every supervillain was either black or Hispanic, and they all had, like, ridiculous names like that. Yeah. So I'm thinking that, like, the character's gonna be adapted. They might not actually call him that. They might just call him, like, Cornell or something. But if you've read those old comics, he was, again, like, he was sort of like a gangster-style guy, but he had, like, sharp teeth. It was stupid.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the thing, too, is that with Luke Cage, because, like, as a franchise, it's just, like, very small of a franchise, there's not a lot of characters, and they all pretty much are racist caricatures, I'm thinking that they're going to have to do a lot of reinvention. Like, these characters are going to be basically, like, rebuilt from the ground up so that the series is, like, you know, viable. But if you've read all Luke Cage comics, now you know that that's one of the characters that's going to be introduced in that story, so
Because you look at like someone like Darren Cross in Ant-Man, he was definitely redone from
his Yeah, they basically just took the name and just built an entirely new character out of it, right? Which is totally fine with like those super minor characters from the comics that you might as well just read Dux from the start. I don't have a problem with that. So I'm like, if they want to take good old Cornell and just again like create an entirely new character, like maybe he's sort of like a Black Kingpin. Like that would be fine.
A Kingpin is black.
Well, no, I'm just saying is that sort of like, you know, like a black mobster running Harlem, like that could be the entire series right there, the entire 13 episode run. Right? As long as they throw in a couple other characters.
Luke Cage will do a lot of like Heroes for Hire stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd probably imagine that Iron Fist, which there was also some news about Iron Fist this week, probably would show up at some point too.
Oh, absolutely, because I think they were doing that sort of like as a segue, like they've been doing that sort of as a segue thing. Like Daredevil itself was sort of like their pilot for the Netflix, so they sort of wanted that to be somewhat self-contained, but then each subsequent one is going to be like introducing the next character. Like we know that Luke Cage is going to be in Jessica Jones, and so I'm thinking that Iron Fist is going to be in Luke Cage. And then, you know, Iron Fist, like, he's going to get his own show after that before Defenders, right? We also know that Patsy Walker, or Trish Walker, that's what they're calling her now, who's Hellcat, who's also possibly in the Defenders, is also going to be in Jessica Jones. So these characters are cross-pollinating. And I think they're, like, more confident in having these crossovers become more frequent now that Daredevil's been a success. They were sort of like, let's just make season one of Daredevil its own thing, you know, just have it be its own, but now that we know that we're doing something good, we're going to have these crossovers be more frequent. So I am 100% guarantee that Iron Fist will be making an appearance in Luke Cage.
Sure.
Next bit of news is that, I remember we were talking about this last week, was that whole, like, remember that whole Channing Tatum might be leaving Gambit thing?
And what did I say?
Okay, Curtis ended up being right. It's been resolved. Apparently, Channing Tatum has resolved whatever problem. The problem apparently existed. We don't know exactly what it was. Probably money. But apparently, it's been fixed. And now he's 100% back on board with Gambit. And they're now testing some female actors to play the female lead in that movie, including Rebecca Ferguson, who did appear in Mission Impossible 5, if you've seen it. Leah Seydoux, who appeared in Mission Impossible 4, and she's also appearing as one of the main Bond girls in Spectre, and a couple other people, I don't know. But yeah, so now they're actively casting for that movie, so it looks like it's back on track.
Did you write down the news about this Iron Fist news that came out this week?
Which Iron Fist news? Just go ahead and tell me.
The news that they're looks like they're auditioning for Iron Fist.
Oh, yeah. I don't have it on my list, but go ahead and talk about it.
Carlos! I broke that rumor.
Oh, yeah. You know why? Because it was your article, and it got lost in the shuffle. I couldn't find it. Fuck. All right, that's why. But, yeah, Curtis. Didn't, like, Gusto comment on that? Be like, what was your source, alcohol?
No, that was another one. No, actually, this one actually was kind of interesting because... For those who know Reddit basically, it's a community of people, and there is a Marvel one. And funny enough, there are Marvel employees that actually scour the Marvel Reddit, and if you post something, generally if it's bullshit, they will not take it down. They'll just keep it up, because they don't care. You're wrong, right? Like, why would they care, right? But if it's right, normally they'll take it down. They'll actually have it, like, removed from Reddit. And this one actually was up for, like, an hour or two, and then it got taken down. So, kind of leads credence to it being right.
Okay. And that's all it was that they've apparently started casting, or did they have any names attached, or...?
Luke Bracey, who's in the Point Break remake, funny enough, was also in November Man and G.I. Joe Retaliation, but apparently he was picking up an Iron Fist omnibus, and paid with a credit card and got some receipts, and this comic shop owner kind of posted this.
I say, did he take a picture with him or something?
There's no picture. In the article, though, he does say that, like, he did post the receipt that was up there. So, but, you know, some people are saying, too, like, it's kind of weird, too, because the numbers on the credit card are kind of weird. He thinks it might have been a corporate credit card, but, you know, again, hard to tell. So, but, right. Apparently they are auditioning for Iron Fist.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, they've had Mike Coulter cast for a while. I think they cast him at the end of last year, so they're probably going to be, like... You know, as they're gearing up to start production on Luke Cage sooner, because Jessica Jones has finished filming, They had their, I remember I saw a few images on a, what is it, on a blog run by David Tennant, I think, and he had posted some images from, like, the end part, the wrap-up party with him and Kristen Ritter and, like, a few of the other people. So if that's done filming, and they're filming Daredevil Season 2 right now, then they're probably going to be like, all right, Luke Cage is next, right? So if they're going to start filming Luke Cage, they're going to have an Iron Fist by then. So it would make sense that we might get some news about that sooner rather than later.
And the one that you were talking about, the one where Augusta was like, what's your source? Alcohol? That's about Marvel video games. So if you care about Marvel video games.
Oh, yeah. The what is it? They might announce Marvel video games at D23 or something?
They're going to announce partnerships. So they're not going to say what the games are, but they're going to announce
who they're okay. Like, which companies are making them?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so okay, cool.
That's the rumor. I've been the rumor machine this week. I got those two, so...
Just right, so
making all those big bucks on comicmovie.com.
Nice. All right, so next bit is the fact that, I mean, this was a few weeks back. I remember, what is it? There was that whole thing about how Ava DuVernay she was in discussions for Black Panther. Apparently, she did get the offer, but she decided to turn it down. So now, one of the other directors who has been frequently mentioned by fans is F. Gary Gray. Who actually has a... Doesn't he have a movie coming out soon? Straight Out of Compton?
Yeah.
So he's obviously, you know, he's a black director. A lot of people have talked about him saying, like, hey, are you interested in directing Black Panther? And so he's been asked about it, and he said that he is very open to the idea of directing Black Panther, but he doesn't want to make any comments on whether or not discussions are in place, probably because he's just being diplomatic. So we don't 100% know if that actually means he has been talked about, but I imagine he's probably someone that Marvel is looking at. But apparently, he's not like one of those directors that people suggest and they're like, absolutely not, I don't care about that whole comic book movie crap. Apparently he is open to the idea, he likes the character, he's really interested, and so if Marvel's talking to him, who knows. Just a little bit of a mention.
Yeah, I like it too, because like, he's not like a huge director, but they're like, so, would you be interested in doing that? Like, yeah, of course.
He's like, hell yeah, boy!
Like, back up that Marvel money truck.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
That Marvel money. So, it's that we're back on Fantastic Four. there's more Fantastic Four stuff again, because these are all news articles that drop before the reviews, obviously. Another thing is that if you have been following the Fantastic Four marketing, is that a few days ago, Kate Mara and Michael B. Jordan were talking with an Atlanta radio station, and they were doing an interview, and it was like worst fucking interview you've ever heard. Like, the guy was straight up racist, sexist. He was asking the most inane questions, and they were just taking it. And I watched the interview, and they really did like just play it off. They were laughing, taking it in stride, but you could tell it was just so uncomfortable for them. And like, regardless of the quality of the product, I really don't think that it's fair that they had to suffer through that. Like, come on, if you're gonna interview someone, like, it reminds me of the, you remember way back, well, I guess not way back, it was only a few months ago with Age of Ultron, when there was that reviewer that was interviewing Robert Downey Jr. He's asking him, like, the stupidest questions about his past life involving, like, drugs.
Yeah.
Or it's that sort of, like, unprofessional crap. And I'm like, even if you don't like the movie, even if you don't like the actors, how they're portraying, like, that has nothing to do with just treating them like decent human beings when you're interviewing them. Yeah. Like, come on, like, that's just so disgusting. And the guy obviously went on social media afterwards being like, hey, it wasn't that, I don't really think it was that bad, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, whatever, you're stupid.
But here's the thing, too, is like, it's kind of funny, too, because I think it was like a classic rock radio station. And it's kind of funny, like, I listen to one of those here in Vancouver. Well, not in Vancouver.
You're not now, in Vancouver, Curtis.
But, like, there are, it's kind of funny, too, because, like, I'll listen to that, and they're like, yo, I saw this chick walking down the street. She had huge honkers. It's like, yeah, you guys are totally not. You guys are totally not up to snuff. But that's the thing, too, right? Like, I was kind of like, when they said that and not really knowing anything about it, I kind of was like, I bet you it's going to be like a classic rock radio station.
Yeah, and obviously that's what it ended up being, because, like, that's just their sort of deal.
That's their stick, right? Because they go for, like, construction workers and stuff like that. But, I mean, not to excuse what the guy did, but it's just kind of funny because I'm like, oh, yeah. I can kind of tell.
It's not excusing, but it's understanding.
Yeah, it's like,
Right?
man, you're just playing along with your, like, I imagine that radio station is probably, like, their listeners right now are probably just over the moon, like, oh, man, I can't believe you called out that black guy on his shit or something. Like,
Yeah.
those kind of terrible people. But.
Yeah, those kind of terrible people. Anyway, more Fantastic Four! Okay, what is it? Fact is that, remember Simon Kinberg? Now, you said that you're thinking that they might keep him just because he's writing everything for Fox now. Well, what's sort of interesting is that there was a couple of these interviews that came out, again, like literally right before the review embargo got broken. And you could sort of tell that they knew what was coming, right? Because there was two interviews that were done. One that was done with Simon Kinberg, and then one was done with Miles Teller, who is playing Reed Richards. So the one with Simon Kinberg, he said, now again, this is before any reviews have dropped. He specifically said that he thought that the Fantastic Four as a franchise was very tricky to do, and that he thought it was, out of all the comic book properties, it was the most difficult to adapt. If that's not raising any red flags right there, that's a problem. like, you don't say that about a movie that you're about to put out. Like, you don't be like, yeah, you know what? I really am not sure if we, like, you know, did that right. Like, it's really hard, you know? Like, so
yeah.
We didn't do it. He's basically saying it's like, if we didn't do a good job, but yeah, nobody else would have done a good job. I'm like, no, you're just incompetent, right?
Yeah.
And there was that idea, because I saw an article that was written by, like, one. It was, I don't think it was Forbes, but it might have been Forbes, but it was one of those type of websites. Like those movie analysis websites that like analyze the business, right? And
okay.
That and the article was basically an essay about why Fantastic Four as a franchise is just almost impossible to adapt. And I'm like, no, it's not impossible to adapt at all. It's not difficult to adapt. Just like it's just that everybody who's ever gotten a chance at it has just done it completely wrong. Just because something has been done poorly in the past doesn't mean that it can't be done better in the future. Okay, so, like, that's just a crap excuse for...
I think what it really boils down to is that, like, these writers always just kind of think of new ways to sort of, quote-unquote, reinvent the characters, but the problem is, like, reinvention and betraying what those characters are and what they have been for years is, like, a very thin line. Like, in some ways, yeah, you can totally reinvent a character. Like, I'm thinking of, like, the Dark Knight trilogy where they reinvented Batman. Like, that worked.
But they still got the core of him, though, right? Like, that's the point, is that, like, you still... Like, yes, Batman was different in the Dark Knight trilogy than previous versions of Batman, but you could still... Like, if you break down characters to their essence, which is something that I talk about a lot when I'm discussing these things, you can still see that, like, the core is the same, right? And
yeah,
you can say that about Batman in the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah. And the thing with the Fantastic Four film, and again, I don't want to... We're going to review it next week, but... is that you can tell they were trying to reinvent everything about the whole Fantastic Four franchise, but the problem is that, like, they needed to nail down who those characters were first, and they sort of let the, that whole, like, energy of trying to reinvent that franchise kind of take over, and they kind of forgot, like, what they were doing. Like, you could tell there's times in that movie where it just pauses, and they're like, wait, this is a Fantastic Four movie? Like, shit, I totally forgot what we're making one.
Yeah. Right? And it also just shows contempt for, like, the source material that you're working with. Like, if you want to change it that much, then you don't even want to adapt it in the first place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just don't see the point. Now, the other interview that was done was with Miles Teller, who specifically said, and this is not paraphrasing, which is the funniest part, because again, this was like a day before the first reviews dropped. He specifically said, and I quote, "I do not think that this film will do well on Rotten Tomatoes."
I was thinking he was foretelling the future.
And I'm like, way to show confidence in your product, Teller. But then
yeah.
He tried to come up with more excuses. And he said, he's like, these types of movies usually don't do well with the critics anyway. And I'm like, obviously he has not seen all of the comic book and superhero movies that have review scores in the 90s and 80s. Examples include Iron Man, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, The Dark Knight, and several more. Those are all in the 90s, off the top of my head. So that's a completely fake excuse, Teller. So you don't get to use that as an argument for your movie. But yeah, he was talking about how, like, you know, we tried to do something with a little bit more soul than your general popcorn movie. You know, something that was a little bit deeper, and I'm like, now you're just insulting every other comic book movie out there.
But you, again, you don't get to do that when it's quite clear that yours is one of the worst ever produced.
You can say, oh, wrong, right? This was our attempt at this film, but really it comes down to the end product, right? Like,
yeah.
They can say, oh, we've tried to inject more soul into it, but as somebody who's seen the film, I can tell you they didn't achieve that. So, again, you know, and we were mentioning this earlier, but, you know, we're not reviewing a film based off of what they say they want to do, but it's what you managed to pull off. Right. You know, if Ant-Man says, oh, we're going to try to pull off this movie with a bunch of heart and humor and action, and they end up not doing any of that, well, then... Who cares? You didn't achieve that.
Yeah, like, but that's... obviously Ant-Man did achieve that. Like, we saw the heart, the humor, the action. We saw the characters. Like, we got invested in the world and, like, the story arcs that were going on. So when they say that, and then we see the finished product, we say, oh, okay, we see what you were going for, and you achieved it. But obviously this is not the case with the Fantastic Four reboot.
What's kind of bugging me about that, too, is, like, these actors are defending this film, which they shouldn't do. Like... You're an actor. Your job is to go in and make this, make the film, right? Like,
you know, not act all defensive.
Yeah, like they should have just been like, yeah, you know, some people are gonna like this film, some people aren't. You know, whatever, right? Like, then that's kind of like the way it should be, right? But instead, you know, telling people that they're all wrong for not liking this movie, like, A, it's not your job, and B, like, you're really harming your career because other studios are gonna see that and be like, wow, this guy's defending this crappy film, just embarrassing himself, like. Miles Teller, do not hire him for any other movie.
Man, just... Anyway, this one's just for Hameed. DC.
Hameed? Smoke the bong?
Bong Ripper 420, this one's for you. Like, I feel like a DJ and like... Okay, a little bit of news on the DC front, DC television front. Is the fact that Hawkman, Carter Hall, has been cast and is confirmed to make appearances in Arrow, The Flash, and DC's Legends of Tomorrow. And the actor who will be playing him is a guy called Falk Henschel. I am probably saying that wrong. I'm sorry. If
he's a typical CW actor.
He's 100% a typical CW actor. He was in Transcendence. I don't know anything else that he's been in. And he's going to play Hawkman. I'm like, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. But, a lot of people
but obviously he must have impressed them enough because he's gonna be appearing in all three of those shows. Like he's not just making like he's not like just in Legends of Tomorrow. No, he's confirmed to appear in all three of those shows.
They kind of said that like for the first half of Arrow and Flash, the first half of the season, they're gonna set up Legends of Tomorrow. So it's gonna kind of be like a whole half of the season worth of backdoor pilots for both shows for that one show. It's kind of weird, but yeah. So, but who else did they cast? They cast on the Legends of Tomorrow front. They also cast a villain for that.
Vandal Savage, yeah. That was a different article. But what the fuck was the guy's name? God damn it! I'm trying to find it now.
Again, CW actor. Nobody knows who he is, but he looks handsome.
He's gonna be in that Tarzan reboot, isn't he?
Oh, I think he is.
Yes,
yeah.
Casper Krupp, that's his name. Yes, he is current. Yes, he's slated to appear in next year's Tarzan reboot, and he has been cast as Vandal Savage, who is basically going to be the main villain of Legends of Tomorrow, and he's probably going to be like a major antagonist across all three of those shows. Yeah. So there's actually been, so two bits of casting news, and we covered them, Hameed, so you don't get to give us that crap about not covering DC news.
And they cast...
Oh, yes! And they cast fucking Wally West.
Yeah,
Wally right? West. With the... Oh, my... Now I have to find that one. God damn it. I'm so disorganized! No, I'm not. I'm not disorganized. Don't tell me that.
It's okay.
The fuck's the kid? Where the fuck is the kid?
I've been doing this for however many episodes.
There he... Okay, wait. No, I found it. Okay, so here he is. All right, so... Kenan Lonsdale. Yeah, so he was in Insurgent... which was that second Divergent movie or whatever. Anyway, another classic CW actor, and that he is also going to be appearing in all of those shows. Actually, I think he's only confirmed for a Flash appearance, but he's probably going to appear in other stuff too. But yeah, he's going to be playing Wally West, but I thought it was sort of funny that in the comments section there were people being like, isn't Wally white? And I was like, isn't Iris black?
Yeah.
So...
No, that it is kind of funny, because obviously they've... in the New 52 while he was black, which already caused a bit of a kerfuffle, but then when they did the show, Iris was white. Now, Iris and Wally are related, so it would kind of make sense that they're both the same.
Yeah, like I'm gonna say, like I obviously Iris West is being played by Candace Patton, and so I sort of just thought that if they were gonna cast Wally, because they said they were gonna bring Wally in eventually, I figure like they're gonna bring in a black kid. It just makes sense, right? And I also knew that the New 52 version of Wally was black, so it didn't faze me at all. But then I sort of saw people in the comment section bitching about it, and I was just like, oh my god, like I don't even really follow the Flash or like a lot of the DC comics. And even I figured this out, and they didn't figure it out. I'm like, come on, guys. Like,
yeah, I mean, if anything, when the show started and they cast Candace Patton, you could probably make a logistical, you know, jump that, yeah, they're going to basically bring in...
But I guess you can't, because they didn't do that in Fantastic Four, because adopted. Because we can't have a black Sue Storm. That's not allowed.
Or a white Johnny. They can just, like, make it make sense.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, if they're going to cast Johnny and then they casted, was it Reg E. Cathy, that black guy, as his dad?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so if you have two black... I figure, okay, so cast a black girl as Susan. But they're like, nope, let's make her white, because we can't have a black girl leading a movie, because that's just not allowed. But yeah, so... That, and also, apparently in the movie, it's, like, addressed in, as in it's not addressed at all. It's, like, barely addressed. Apparently she was adopted from Kosovo, and they, like, mention it in, like, one line, and then it's never brought up again. Is that correct, Curtis?
Yeah, they, like, definitely don't talk about it. Like, you can kind of tell, like, the movie is about to address it, and then they just, like, don't bother. And it's such, like, a stupid thing, too. You're like, oh, that's cool. I'm kind of wondering what they're gonna do to explain it. They're like, nope, I'm doing it well. While we're talking about Fantastic Four, it has been funny on Twitter to see people being like, oh, the new Fantastic Four is coming out. I can watch the 1994 Roger Corman Fantastic Four. And then they're like, oh, I wonder which one's going to be better. I'm like, actually, in some ways, I would probably say that Roger Corman one's.
I've honestly said this from the beginning. I've said that before the reboot came out, I always said that the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie was the best movie that's been... That's the thing, it hasn't technically been released. So I can't say that. The best Fantastic Four movie produced, because of the fact that despite having a shoestring budget, despite being awful, it at least tried to get the essence of the franchise right. The Fantastic Four had their costumes, they acted like the characters did, it had the most basic of plots, but Dr. Doom had his costume. He actually had, considering the budget, his costume was very comic accurate in that movie. And he was the ruler of Latveria.
Oh yeah, they mentioned Latveria quite a bit in that film. Just looking at that list.
But are you talking about the Corman one or the reboot?
I want to see what Dr. Doom looks like
in that film. In the Corman movie?
Comic accurate. Really, I mean, in comparison to the other ones we've gotten, so...
I'm saying is that it's still got... Like, I can't believe that the guy that was told to make a movie on, again, a shoestring budget, like, no money, and with no intention of releasing it, even he tried to make it as close to the comics as he could. But people, you give Josh Trank or Tim Story $100 million and more, and they don't even try.
Yeah.
Just pathetic. Pathetic.
Let's make it gritty, guys. Nope.
All right, so now I've got another piece of news, but this one, take out your salt, because the source on this is Devin Faranci's cat. So,
yeah.
But I still have to report it as a newsman. It's our job. Apparently, Devin Faranci's cat says that, you know that whole talk about Spider-Man only having a cameo? He says, fuck that. Despite the fact that it makes complete sense for Spider-Man to only have a cameo, because he was only on set for a week and it didn't take him that long to film his scenes, apparently Devin Faranci's cat says that Spider-Man actually is in more of the movie than you expect, and that he will have a large fight scene against another superhero, but he doesn't reveal who that is.
Shit.
What?
That's bullshit. Like,
yeah.
If you knew who it was, you would say, this is who he's fighting, right?
Like, exactly. Like, if you know so many... Because he also says that apparently it's profoundly dorky. And I'm like, okay, if you know that much, then you should know who he's fighting. But, of course, Devin Faranci's cat is very... We're going to say unreliable? And does not reveal who Spider-Man would potentially... Like, even if you were just making this up, you could just pick anybody. Just be like, oh, he's gonna fight Cap, he's gonna fight Black Panther, he's gonna fight fucking Scarlet Witch, Ant-Man. Just pick someone. If you're gonna just make shit up, just pick someone so that, you know... Because who cares? When it comes out and you turn out to be wrong, then at least, like, whatever.
So it seems like one of those, like, oh, well, you know, you just put it in there, and, like, even if he has, like, a 2-minute fight scene with Falcon or something like that, he'd be like, oh, see, I called it. It's like,
is Falcon just sort of, like, the go-to? Like, whenever they need someone to fight, they're like, have him fight Falcon.
Well, it's kind of funny because, my wife, she was like, oh, I want to watch Ant-Man again. And that's, like, actually a really good sign because she doesn't really want to watch the Marvel movies again. She's normally like, I've seen it, it's, I don't care, I don't need to see it. She wanted to see it again. And so we saw the new one, Ant-Man again, and she was like, oh, it's really good. But she didn't really like the Falcon scene. She thought it was, like, pretty clever.
Because it is clever. It's a clever bit of world building. Like, they're able to get that cameo in there, but it doesn't feel tacked on. Like, it actually feels like part of the story. So, yeah.
Chris Farley, there's a voice clip of him playing Shrek at some point. That's interesting.
Wait, what?
Chris Farley, the actor that
passed away. Yeah, Chris Farley. Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, he was apparently supposed to be Shrek. Apparently someone leaked the audio of him voicing Shrek.
Yeah, that was, like, recorded, like, way before the movie was produced.
Yeah, obviously they went with Mike Myers, but...
Well, yeah, because wasn't Chris Farley too busy being dead?
He was too busy being on cocaine or whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm derailing this podcast. I'm terrible.
No, it's fine. It's just, you know, stuff to talk about. All right, let me pull up...
What about the news about your beloved StarCraft? What's coming out this year, they confirmed?
Yes, that wasn't on the list, but that was heard about, was the fact that, yes, StarCraft... Legacy of the Void is confirmed to be launching before the end of the year. So
I'm excited. I like StarCraft.
I'm fucking stoked. Like, I love the last two. Like, I loved Wings of Liberty. I loved Heart of the Swarm. And so I'm really fucking stoked for Legacy of the Void. Like, so, yeah. I'm pretty fucking stoked.
Yeah. Like, I played the single player that. I never played the multiplayer. So I'm not, like, competitive with it. But it's fun. I like the story mode of that game. It's fun. For me, it's worth the price of the game, so...
Good. Thanks. Okay, so, next bit. This is just sort of like a minor thing that was posted, but I sort of just want to mention it. Is the fact that, the Resident Evil movies... oh my gosh. They're making a sixth one. First of all, we already knew that. It's called Resident Evil The Final Chapter. Thank fucking God. But Ali Larder, who has been in a couple of those movies before as Claire Redfield, as in, you know, a character that has no resemblance to her video game character, she has confirmed that she's going to be in it. We know that movie is coming, and I'm just sort of like, oh, geez. Because, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Resident Evil games, right? Yeah. And I really feel that, like, it's funny, because Resident Evil the movies is technically the most successful video game movie franchise. Like, it's made a lot of money. Right? Like, more than any other video game movie adaptation, so I always sort of, like, feel bad, because I'm like, I really feel that if you, like, made the plot of the games, then, like, obviously adapted it, but, like, if you focused on those characters, it could have been great, but, like, they've all confirmed this is the last one they're doing. The contract's up after this, so I'm sort of like, maybe they could do a reboot in a few years and, like, actually make it, like, a horror series and have it focus on the characters, maybe? I don't know. Hoping? Beyond hope? Maybe.
I'm kind of hoping, too, that, like, the director of his wife, Mila Jovovich, they're just done, because they've been doing all these movies, and, yeah, it's just, like...
They've been doing these movies since, like, what, like, 2002, haven't they? Like, isn't that when the first one came out? Yeah, like, they've been doing these movies forever, right? And but they both confirmed that this is all they have left. I'm pretty sure it's, like they're exhausted, but they're also, like, their contracts are up. I'm like, God damn it. Like, to do six movies in a row, and they're all bad. Like, come on. Jeez. Anyway, okay, so moving on. This is a rumor that's coming from El Maybe. So
yeah, El Maybe.
Here's another great one for us. And this is hilarious, okay? Because I have to talk about the source of this rumor first for a little bit, okay? So someone posted... It's about the Spider-Man reboot. Somebody posted... Like, some random posted this online. And El Maybe actually made fun of this person on social media before then stealing the story and posting it himself. What an asshole.
That's on my eBay for you. He's kind of douche like that.
Anyway, apparently, so this is the rumor. The rumor is that the villain of the Spider-Man reboot is going to be Kraven the Hunter. Now, this is coming from one of the Sony executives that works under Amy Pascal buying a copy of Kraven's Last Hunt on Amazon. That's the source of this rumor. And I don't even want to, like, say, like, all the possible things that could be wrong with this. I'm like, she bought a fucking book online. That doesn't mean anything. Like, especially considering so many filmmakers in the past have said that they ask Marvel for the comic books, and they receive them. Like, I know we just talked about somebody buying an Iron Fist omnibus, but, like, that person hasn't been hired yet, right? Yeah. So if they buy books on their own to, like, prepare for auditions, that's something different. But, like, all of the directors and producers on and writers on the different movies who have talked about it have said that if they ask Marvel for the books, Marvel provides them. So I don't know why a producer would need to buy the book for whatever they're considering adapting. And even then, it's still slim justification because it's early days. Like, they just hired the writers for this movie. Like, who knows if they've even chosen the villain yet?
I mean, if anything, they're probably gonna, you know, consult with the writers, and they're probably gonna, like, if anything, they probably just want to be like, hey, we read this book, what do you think about this? And the writers are probably like, no, we're doing our own thing, but
yeah,
that's just me.
Yeah, and I mean, like, even on, okay, I know that a lot of people have suggested Kraven. It seems like the two big ones that get suggested the most are Kraven and Mysterio. I'm 100% behind Mysterio. I think that he would be a great villain for the Spider-Man reboot. And he's a character that I've wanted to see for a long time. But those are probably the two ones that are most suggested. And I want to tell you why I think that Kraven is a poor choice. Specifically for the first movie. Now, I've never been a fan of the character personally. I know that he's got a lot of fans. He's a relatively popular Spider-Man villain. But I really don't think that he's a good choice for the first movie because it sort of seems weird. I mean, Kraven the Hunter, his whole point is that he wants to take down Spider-Man because, like, it would be, like, his greatest hunt. You know what I mean? Like, he's taking down someone with, like, notoriety. So why would he be hunting after a teenager who's, like, just started his superhero career? Like, it seems to go against the character. Like, maybe if he was in the second or third movie, like, that would make more sense to me. Personally, I wouldn't care if they never used him, because, again, I don't like him that much. But even just if you want the character to be done properly, it seems a bit odd for him to be the first antagonist. You know what I mean? Whereas Mysterio feels like he could just fit in anywhere along the timeline. So that's just what I have to say about it. Again, it's just a rumor that someone posted online. It could be nothing. It could be true. Who knows? But that's just what I wanted to say about it.
I said that I want Scorpion. That's all I want.
Scorpion
I
mean, is another one that I think that could be pretty cool, yeah.
Just someone simple. I mean, you're really going to be spending most of this movie building that universe, so do you really want a complex villain that's going to, like... But that's the thing, I don't think it's going to be Kraven, because Kraven's Last Hunt would sort of be kind of jarring for the first film.
It's so weird, too, because there is absolutely... Okay, even if you... I want to say a few things about Kraven's Last Hunt, just because you brought it up, okay? So, one is that probably the most requested storyline to be adapted is Kraven's Last Hunt, okay? Like, people being like, do Kraven's Last Hunt! And, first of all, that does not come across, one, as a story that you open a franchise with. It's just not. It's way too dark, it's way too deconstructive, right? Like, it sort of, like, deconstructs what Spider-Man and Kraven are. Like, it seems like that would be, like, the second movie you would even have Kraven in, let alone Spider-Man, right? So, like, it would not come across very well. And the other thing, too, is that, I mean, I've read Kraven's Last Hunt, okay? And I get that it's, like, again, it's, like, usually considered to be one of the best Spider-Man stories ever written, blah, 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 whatever. Personally, I've never thought that it was, like, that amazing. Like, I'm like, okay, it's a good storyline, but I really feel like there are a lot of people that, again, like, are sort of like those fans who, again, haven't read as many comics, and they sort of just Google, what is a good Spider-Man story? And Kraven's Last Hunt pops up, so they're like, do that one, right? Like, I know that's a little bit harsh, but I'm saying is I actually think that that equates to a lot of the people who are suggesting, because I really don't think they understand what Kraven's Last Hunt is and why it would not work for a first movie, right? Like, is this making sense to you, Curtis? Like, is this coming across where, like,
I just don't want Kraven.
I don't want Kraven either, and I feel like you do have a point there. Is Mysterio is a bit complex in that, like, there's a lot you can do with him as a character, and I think that, again, like, it's not an origin, we know it's not an origin, but if they're gonna do Spider-Man again, like, as a, sort of like an introduction to the character and, like, what he's doing, then someone sort of like Scorpion, who's very simple and just more of like a physical threat, might be better for that first movie, right?
Yeah.
So I would be behind Scorpion being the villain, yeah.
But what I think is going to happen is with the first Spider-Man movie, they're basically just going to have it where they're going to set up a lot for future movies. Like, they'll have Norman Osborn be in there, but he won't be Green Goblin yet. You might have Kraven as sort of like a public figure, like, you know, maybe like he captures Wild, puts it on TV or whatever, you know, like stuff like that, right? Like, they'll set up the world, but they won't actually execute on making these guys films yet.
I was going to say another sort of like smaller villain, a simpler villain that they could definitely use that I've always wanted to see is Shocker. That could be another one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I could see. I always said this too, but like, if they're not going to do an origin story, they should open the film with like him stopping a lesser known.
Like a fun action sequence, like Shocker's robbing a bank, and that's like the first 10 minutes of the movie. That'd be a great way to open.
I always like that when they do that in movies, when they basically just open with something and it doesn't have any impact on the rest of the film, but it's just a fun little set piece to basically say, hey, here's our character, you know, and like, it's just fun, right? Like, H. Voltron did that. Like, they opened that film with
You open it up with, we gotta stop Baron Strucker, he's the first boss, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Before the story really starts. Yeah, I've always liked that too. I really think that'd be pretty cool to do.
Yeah. Shocker would be a good one for that. Like, you could have Shocker robbing a bank and Spider-Man stops them. Pretty simple stuff, right? It doesn't have to have any ramifications on the rest of the film. It can just be like it.
It would be actually kind of funny is that if they had that occur multiple times in the franchise, like Shocker keeps coming back in like the opening scene and like he does different things and always gets stopped. He's like, God damn it.
Before people who don't read comics, but like, it's true that like some of the people who don't read comics don't know, but like a lot of comics actually do start off like that. Like they do basically just start off with basically something that's totally relevant to the main plot of the comic, but it's just for fun. And, you know, I think that's kind of where those things kind of started from. I mean, well, actually Bond too, I guess. Bond probably started.
Bond always does that, yeah.
Oh, there was apparently a tweet from Josh Trank that got screen capped before it got deleted.
Yeah, I saw that. Tell us what it says.
A year ago, I had a fantastic version of this I guess he means the film, and it would have received great views. You'll probably never see it. That's reality, though. So what, now he's blaming the studio, I guess?
Of course he is. And remember, you said, Curtis, he's not coming back. He just confirmed he's not coming back. They've already fired him, or he's already quit. It's probably going to be both. But yeah, so he tweeted that. He is probably high and drunk as fuck right now.
That's not on his actual Twitter right now, but that was actually...
Yeah, but like I was saying, as soon as you put it on the internet, it's there forever. You can delete it all you want. 1,000 people have already screen grabbed it.
I'm sure he's probably kicking himself right now. I mean, he was a pretty good success story. I mean, he made let's be honest, a pretty shitty movie. Chronicle wasn't that great. And
but a lot of the writing people were impressed by it.
Yeah.
Right?
But offered Star Wars, which is like huge. Like, can you imagine being a director?
Are you kidding? Star Wars is, like, as high as you can go when it comes to, like, cinematic, like, royalty. Like, to get offered a Star Wars movie is just... Who gets that? And now, where are you now? He's in the dumpster. With Devin Verachi's Cat and Elle, maybe.
Is that the title of this week's podcast? Yep. The trash can? I can't even say it. I forgot already.
Yeah, in the dumpster with Devin Verachi's Cat and Elle, maybe.
You'll have to Facebook that to me,
because
I don't have access to this stuff.
Okay, I'm going to send it. Hang on, I'm going to send it right now.
That is a good thought.
There's the title. We got our title. Carlos Snags, another one. All right, hang on. So.
Yep. But it is funny. He probably just tweeted that anger. He's like, shit, I should probably delete that.
Too late!
Everyone sees it.
All right, I just sent that to you, Curtis. Now I'm just sort of imagining, like in sort of some back alley. Some back alley, there's, like, a dumpster, and, like, you know, like, those dumpster covers? Like, it opens up, right? And you see a cat, and you see El maybe, like, drunk out of his mind, and then you see Josh Trank sitting in between them. He's like, oh, man, my life sucks.
I hate Star Wars.
Like, I want someone, like, an artist to, like, draw that image. It would just be, it would make me so happy.
Well, let's be honest, he was never that great of a director.
No, I never thought he was a good director at all, but at least his career was going somewhere. But then it all went downhill.
I keep saying that, you know, like, I guess Mark Webb and Andrew Garfield have a new hiree and trainee at McDonald's now. I mean.
Oh, yeah. But, Josh Trank and probably half that cast are all going to fucking go to McDonald's now.
I don't know. I said this online, but I feel like if Fox is to make a sequel to it, and I don't, honestly, I don't want them to, but if they do, they'll probably try to retain that cast.
Probably, but we'll see. Again, we don't know what's going to happen with a sequel or whatever. We just don't know yet. Obviously, yeah. It's all in flux right now. All right, but let's try keep on track here. We got our first, well, for people who care, I don't care, but I'm sure somebody does. We got our first official trailers for Deadpool.
Yeah. That was really good, actually.
Curtis really liked it. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I watched the trailers, and I was like, you know what? This 100% seems like a Deadpool movie. I was like, this actually seems very accurate to what Deadpool is, and I think that, I actually really think that a lot of the Deadpool fans are going to be very pleased with this movie. The thing is that I never liked Deadpool, so I'm probably not going to even bother watching it, but I was watching, and I was like, I was impressed by how, like, ballsy it was, like, how accurate it was, like, how they didn't seem to be holding anything back with that Red Band trailer, so
yeah,
props to them.
I was kind of saying this, but, you know, the thing with Deadpool is they could have just made it, like, all jokey and action-y, but they do seem to be trying to get a lot of his backstory and origin of this film, which, I mean, it's good.
I was going to say, yeah, because, like, the first bit of the trailer actually seemed to be, like, it's actually setting up a story as if it's an actual movie. Like, it's not just a gag reel made into a movie. Like, there's actually going to be a plot to this. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. I still don't care about the character, but, hey, at least they're actually trying to make a film out of it. Like, it's not just, let's just have Ryan Reynolds on screen for 2 hours making jokes. Like, no, this one's actually going to have a story. Right?
Well, like, so the thing is, like, if you, like, his very early comics, he does have, like, a really interesting backstory. And they touch on this in the trailer with him having cancer and him basically wanting to do right by his wife. That's why he goes into the Weapon X program, is because he wants to make his life for his wife better. But, and I mean, I'm not going to say too much because I'm pretty sure the film's going to probably do it pretty similar to the book. But his backstory is actually really interesting. I think that if they do it right, that it'll be actually really interesting to see. So I'm glad they did that and weren't just like, hey, look, he's making dick jokes and flinging swords around, like they could have had him doing. So.
Okay, so our next bit of news involves Doctor Strange. Okay, so during an interview with Screen Daily, some people were talking about how they've seen some concept art. I think they may have even seen, like, some actual images of the movie. But I think it's mostly been concept art. Apparently they've seen Benedict Cumberbatch in costume. So the Doctor Strange costume has been designed. They've seen him. And apparently they've been talking about, again, like, the look and feel of the movie, and again, like, what sort of tone they're going for. And they made some interesting comments. Apparently Benedict Cumberbatch actually looks kind of, like, menacing, like, a little bit scary as Doctor Strange, which is sort of interesting that they're willing to go this dark. But it makes sense, because they hired Scott Derrickson, who's known 100% for his horror work, right? Yeah. So let me read a couple of the other comments here. So most of the work within it is about other dimensions. It has a very psychedelic grounding. It's not like your typical Marvel movie. He says, and I described it, I think, when I was talking to Marvel, as Marvel's Fantasia in a way, because it's so sort of out there and different to everything else they've done. There's a lot of pre-visualization, there's a lot of work which is very hard. You look at it, you see the imagery that they created for it, and you think, well, how the hell did we shoot that? Because it's all sort of Escher stuff, it's all very out there. And he can't really say much more beyond that. But these are a lot of interesting comments, because they sort of go along with the comments that Kevin Feige made
probably over a year ago now, when he was first pitching the movie, he said, like, he wanted the movie to be like an acid trip, like you're going into alternate dimensions and like seeing this imagery that you don't really understand. Sort of, we got a tease of that with the Quantum Realm and Ant-Man. And so I think we're definitely going to be seeing more of that style of imagery there. And apparently also the costume is actually blood red and green, which is kind of interesting. And he does have the whole, they said it's a goatee, but it's not actually a goatee. It's like the thing that goes like all around your mouth, because a goatee is just on the chin. Right, like, what is it called when it's like all around like your mouth? I think there's a specific term for it.
I think it's a goatee.
It's not. I know it's not technically a goatee. I know it's called something else, but I don't recall. I don't recall. But anyway, he has the facial hair.
I go full beard.
What?
I go full beard. I don't know if it's goatee bullshit.
But yeah, apparently he has Doctor Strange's facial hair, which is, you know, a hallmark of the visuals of the character. So that's there.
Yeah, sure. Just one sec.
Wait, what?
Just one sec, I'll be back in a
second. Okay. Bye, Curtis. Fine, I guess I'll just do this next part myself. Jerk. Anyway, okay, so next bit of news. There's actually more news than I thought there was going to be this week. Okay. There you are. What was that about?
The, because I'm staying at a hotel, the hotel person at the front's like, I see you're doing important business here. Did you want a iced coffee?
Sure. Oh, okay.
But really, it's not important business. But we'll
no, it is important business. This is very important business. I was just going to say, I didn't... Okay, so next bit of news actually has to deal with Sony again. We were talking about, obviously, Spider-Man reboot, and they're still involved with that. But Sony has unveiled a slate of release dates for their movies that are going to be releasing throughout the next 2 years, 2016 and 2017. We have some movies that we already know, and a few movies that were newly added. There's a whole bunch of crap in here, including some movies I have no idea what they are. So I'm only going to mention off the ones that I actually know anything about. So they have the Angry Birds movie coming out at the beginning of next year, whatever. They have their female Ghostbusters reboot has a set release date. I think that release date was already set, but here it is. It's still listed here. They have some movie called Inferno that has Tom Hanks and your favorite actress, Curtis, Felicity Jones, is in it, so we know he's skipping that. We have Underworld...
if it was Amber Heard, maybe I would watch it.
We have Underworld 5 with Kate Beckinsale. God damn it. Like, I love Kate Beckinsale, but she needs to get a better agent. Like, she's just in all these terrible movies, and she's still sticking with Underworld this whole time. Like, fuck. And also slated for, it looks like, Christmas Day 2016, they have a Jumanji remake coming out. Like, what the hell?
So I actually think it's a really good idea, but...
Oh, okay, Curtis thinks it's a good idea. There you go. I was just sort of like, what? But...
Here's the thing with the whole Jumanji concept. Like, do you remember that film at all, or...
Yeah, I remember it. I remember watching it, yeah, as a kid. You know, it was the whole board game thing, and then they had... Like, every time they rolled the dice or whatever, something came out of the jungle, and then it all reset at the end of the day, yeah.
Because here's the thing, like, everyone's like, oh, I can't believe they're remaking Jumanji.
Well, it's not that I can't believe it, I was just sort of like, why, but...
No, I get that, but, like, no, I'm saying, like, generally, like, some people online in comments and stuff, like, can't believe they're remaking Jumanji. I'm like, actually, it kind of makes sense, because Jumanji is one of those concepts where you can literally just throw this board into, like, any situation, and boom. You know, you got a movie. Like, it's kind of like one of those easy things where you can just throw it in, kids play around with it, and they should, and next thing you know, like, everyone's caught up in mischief and mayhem.
Makes sense. I think in order to do that, though, I don't think they've clarified what exactly it is. It's just called Jumanji. I'm just thinking that if they're going to do it, like, it should be, like, sort of, like... I guess sort of like a semi-sequel, and that, like, I just don't think it should be, like, trying to use, like, the same characters as the first one. Because then it feels like you're doing, like, a remake. But if you're just doing it with, like, just the same game, but with, like, a whole new cast. I know what I mean, but I'm just saying is that, like, yeah, like, I don't want them to, like, remake it and be like, oh, it's gonna be Alan Parrish, but we're gonna put a new actor. And, like, no, if you're just gonna do Jumanji, just have the board game, but have, like, a whole new cast, a whole new story. Then I think people will be willing to go see it, right?
Well, some people may remember at the end of that film,
wasn't it, like, found on a beach or something? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, just pick it up there.
There you go. Exactly. And you could make that. Although that's why I'm sort of wondering why didn't they just call it Jumanji 2? It's just listed as Jumanji, but maybe it'll add a 2 or a subtitle later.
It's probably because it hasn't been around for a while, so most people will probably, like, if you put a 2, they'll be like, wait, there was another Jumanji? When did I come out? Like,
well, I think it goes Google a certain it.
Statute of limitations. Like, after a few years, you can probably get away with dropping a 2.
Yeah. Okay, so next up, the Dark Tower movie is finally coming out on January 13th, 2017. That movie has been in fucking development hell forever. For fucking ever. So for it to have a release date is good news, I guess. I don't know. It gets pushed back again. And then Resident Evil 6, the final chapter, is also coming out later that month. And then it's so funny that you said this about numbers because it's been so long. Bad Boys 3. February 17th. Oh my gosh. But not only Bad Boys 3, ladies and gentlemen. Bad Boys 4 is also scheduled for 2019. Holy crap. What a disaster. There is the Uncharted film, which is based on the video game property of the same name, which is scheduled for June 30th, 2017. I'm actually pretty interested in that because I love the games, and I think that the Uncharted, because it was so cinematic already, like, it really lends itself to being made to a movie. Like, I really want to see video game movies get their due. Remember how I said earlier in this podcast that just because something hasn't been done well in the past doesn't mean it can't be done well in the future? I really think there is a future for video game movies. It just, their potential just hasn't been realized, and I think that if Uncharted, because it's so easy to adapt, that there is a real potential for it to, again, like, sort of, like, change the scape. So I'm really hoping for that. Obviously, we have the Spider-Man reboot, but it's specifically listed as Marvel's Spider-Man. So, obviously, we know who's in charge. And just one last bit is The Equalizer with Denzel Washington, which came out last year, is getting a sequel September 29th. I actually thought it was pretty fun. Like, it was just sort of like a throwaway action movie with Denzel in it. And for that, it was pretty entertaining, so I would go see a second one.
Jordan, rest in peace, was actually really into that movie. He would, like, just talk about it for, like, months on end. I never saw it, but...
Well, I didn't think it was, like, that in-depth that I would talk about it for months, but it was sort of, like, one of those things where I sort of, like, looked up and I was like, what's coming out this weekend? And there was, like, nothing, and then I saw The Equalizer, and I'm like, oh, it's an action movie with Denzel. You know what? That enough is enough to get me in the theater. I watched it, and I was like, you know what? Like I said, for a throwaway action movie, it was pretty good. It was very brutal. It was fun. I was like, yeah, it was a good time at the theater. I wasn't, like, anything that I'm going to be writing an essay on or anything, but, hey, it was fun. So, yeah, I'd go see a second one. But yeah, so that's Sony's...
I just got a message from comicbookmovie.com owner Nate about a comment I posted on a Josh Trank article.
What did you post?
I posted, because they posted that tweet that he made but deleted, and I just said, oh, Mark Trank bullshit for people who want to hear about it. And then I posted a GIF of, do you watch South Park at all?
Not really, no.
Okay, there's this one episode where... he's playing World of Warcraft, and he has to go to the washroom, but he's in a raid, so he asks his mom to come down with a bowl, and he grabs into it. So Nate messages me, he's like, I understand that right now not a lot of people really like the Fantastic Four of them, but can you refrain from posting fecal matter gifts? I just replied with, I'll see what I can do. I promise.
Okay. All right, so actually, wow, there's like I said, there's a lot of stuff that's been coming out. We're actually over an hour now in recording. But hey, whatever, man, it's because of Curtis.
This is totally
one more thing about Fantastic Four.
One more thing about Fantastic Four, the movie fucking sucks.
There's been so many articles posted about this shit. Okay. So one last thing
is... It really
is,
like, the gift that keeps on giving, because... And the thing is, Carlos hasn't even seen it yet. Like, when he sees it, the article you're going to write on that is probably the Crash comic movie.
That's the thing, is that I was thinking, is that I... Should I just, like, again, do a solo cast that's going to be, like, an hour and a half and just post that video as my review
But
oh, you should, because that would get us like some traction.
Because I was thinking, because like I was already thinking about all the things that I want to talk about. Again, I feel like I've already seen it in a way because I've read so many reviews and I've read like tons of spoiler things that like detail every plot beat in the movie. Because yeah. I just don't care about spoilers for this crap. So I'm like, I was thinking to myself like, what talking points? And I'm like, I am literally gonna talk about this. Because on my Doom's Domain episode for like 2 hours, so I'm thinking that instead of writing like my normal review, I'm just gonna post it as a video and post that on CBM as my review.
Oh, you should.
And well, yeah, you know what? That's how I'm gonna do it, and that'll link to our Three Angry Nerds YouTube account. So there you go.
Get us some
all right. So what is it next? Oh yeah. So this was an interview done with Toby Cabell, who plays Victor Von Doom in the movie, and this was obviously done before the reviews dropped. Toby Cabell talked about how in the original script, you remember when he did this interview like a year ago, when he dropped the idea that it was going to be Victor Domashev instead of Victor Von Doom, and obviously the internet freaked out and they're like, no, you can't do that, blah blah blah, right? And so yeah, obviously.
Just the whole episode in some ways.
Yeah, and so anyway, so apparently they said that when they went back and they saw how many people freaked out about it, that they went back and changed it in the script. I heard that there's no mentions of Domashev, is that right, Curtis? It's just Von Doom now?
Yeah, it's just Von Doom.
Yeah, they went back in post-production and just modified it so that the name was Von Doom again, probably just because so many people were like, that's stupid. So he went ahead and talked about that, and that, like he said, he said that when he filmed it, every mention of the name was Domashev, and that was all done in post-production, all the modifications back to Von Doom. Like, they had the actors re-record some of the dialogue, and they modified the footage so that it was Von Doom instead of Domashev. And I was like, God damn it. Like, just God damn it. Like, you don't even just do that in the first place. Like, you have to pull, like, an Orwellian retcon on your own movie before it even comes out. You know what I mean?
You know, yeah. Or, like, I was kind of thinking, because I heard it, and I thought to myself, did I miss a scene where maybe they were like, oh, Victor Domashev, do you have a preferred name? He'd be like, Von Doom or something like that. Like, I'm thinking, like, did I miss that? And I'm like, no, I don't think I did. I think they just literally just didn't bring up the Domashev thing, even though that was, like, talked about, yeah, much boot before.
Okay, so that's all the major news for this week that was launched before the reviews. There's a couple things that came after the reviews, but I'm thinking that we'll talk about that next week, just because obviously next week we're going to spend some time talking about Fantastic Four, giving our spoiler-filled takes on it, and then I'm obviously also going to do a separate solo cast that'll be linked on our YouTube page. That's probably, like I said, I'm thinking it's probably going to end up being like 2 hours.
It's just funny, because I'll listen to it.
Yeah, you'll actually listen to the whole thing. Like, my Jupiter Ascending thing, you're like 3 minutes in, you're like, all right, that's enough. But, like, Fantastic Four.
I didn't listen to all of it.
Oh, you didn't listen to all of it? Oh, sorry, no, it was Heis. It was Heisenberg. That he's like, I listened to, like, 3 minutes, and then I was like, oh, okay, that's enough. But Curtis listened to the whole thing.
Well, I kind of have to, in case someone's like, hey, you brought up a bunch of racist remarks. I'd be like, oh, shit, I missed that.
Yeah, that's
funny. I mean, not that you did, but I'm like, you know. Like, I should probably listen to this for quality control, but no, it was actually really good.
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing one of those.
Sorry,
go ahead. No, go.
I was just saying, everyone jokes that, like, your discussion on that movie is almost as long as the movie itself.
Well, it kind of was.
And I think with your Fantastic Four, like, you'll bypass that.
Oh, absolutely. The film's like, only 90 minutes. It's only an hour and a half, right? Yeah. Like, with credits, it's 100 minutes, but that doesn't count. But yeah, so I'm thinking that, yeah, my discussion of Fantastic Four, Fant4Stick, is, like I said, just thinking of all the different things that I want to talk about and all the different things, I'm like, that I'm thinking it's probably going to be 2 hours. It might be a little less, might be a little more, whatever, but I'm thinking that it's going to be around 2 hours, so we will look for that next week once I have seen the film. Okay, so now, I guess just because, again, it's a movie that I've seen, and that's something that I want to talk about, I want to do my sort of five-minute review of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Okay, so Mission Impossible Rogue Nation is the fifth film in the Mission Impossible franchise. It came out last weekend on July 31st of this year. Now, Mission Impossible is a series that has never really, like, gone off the rails, but it's sort of been one of those series that's, like, you know, it's, like, they'll release one, but they don't release one, like, every 2 years. Like, there's usually several years between each installment, right? But then Mission Impossible, but it's sort of been, like, it's sort of fun action franchise, ooh, Tom Cruise. But then when 2011 rolled around and they came out with the fourth one, Ghost Protocol, like, that one just kicked everyone in the ass. And everyone was like, holy crap, like, that was a lot of fun. That was really good, right? So it sort of, like, really elevated the series. And for an espionage movie that's not James Bond, it made $700 million, which is pretty impressive. So a lot of people, there was a lot of hype going into Rogue Nation. And the trailers were fantastic. A lot of people put in... like, you know, those things. There was that big talk about that sequence with the Tom Cruise hanging off the plane. What's interesting is that's the opening Bond sequence. That's the first 5 minutes of the movie, is the plane thing. It has nothing to do with the story. It's a great opening. And they were very smart to focus on that in the marketing, because that means that none of the plot beats that actually are, like, important were given away in the trailers. Like, you sort of know there's going to be a motorcycle place. You know there's going to be a girl that's going to be involved, and you don't know whether she's good or bad. But, like, most of the trailers did not give away anything in, like, the last half an hour of the movie, which was pretty smart on their part, because it, like, sort of, there was actually several points when I was watching where it's like, oh, I don't know, I actually don't know what's going to happen, because it's not like I watched the entire movie in 3 minutes with the Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailers, like, you know what I mean? But no, like, they really did a good job of taking the character of Ethan Hunt and actually giving him something unique to do, because, like, he's really pushed to, like, utter desperation in this movie, like, you know, they really did a good job of, like, stripping him away of, like, his supporting cast. And, like, they're sort of, like, the opening sections of the movie are the fact that he's basically branded, like, again, like a fugitive. And I know they've sort of done semi-things before, but they really go for it. Like, the fact that he has to work 100% on his own for at least half the movie, if not more, right? And he's having to work with these, again, like, shady people, specifically Rebecca Ferguson's character, who's, again, like, the main girl. And you really don't know, for a large majority of the movie, like, which side she's on. I think Rebecca Ferguson does a really good job of sort of portraying that edge, right? Where you're like, she could be good, she could be bad, and, like, you actually really don't know where they're going with this. Like, is this relationship going somewhere? And again, I don't want to talk everything about it, because I actually sort of want you to see it for yourself if you haven't seen it
yet.
Yeah, but it has a lot of very spectacular action beats, and you can tell that they do as much of their stuff practical as possible, right? And, like, they really sell sort of, like, weighted nature of, like, the action. That motorcycle chase that's done about, again, maybe, like, just after the halfway point is spectacular. Like, it's one of the best motorcycle chase sequences that I've ever seen in a movie. It's really fun. And they just knew how to make a fun, well-paced action movie. Like, and they also flip a couple of the Mission Impossible tropes on their head, especially one very early on that was done very cleverly. So I'm really excited to hear, again, what people have to say about that. And of course, they keep the Mission Impossible theme. Although, one thing that I do have to say that I wasn't 100% a fan of, and this is actually an issue with Ghost Protocol, too, is the fact that the bad guy is done well, but they never really explain what his end goal is. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't really do that with Ghost Protocol, too. Like, with Ghost Protocol, it was like, he wants to incite, like, nuclear war, and you're sort of like, well, why? And they don't really explain. Well, with this one, it's like, the guy wants to incite worldwide chaos within, like, the governments of the world. I'm like, okay, but why? Like, they never really get to that explanation. But he's still a really good bad guy, and he still does, like, a lot, like, he really pushes Ethan Hunt to the brink on several occasions, just, like, on an intellectual level, right? Like, you can tell, like, he's, like, a match for him, right? And the way that, obviously, like, the climax goes down is actually really non-conventional, but also a lot of fun. But yeah, so most of the movie, again, like, I really liked the characters. I thought there was a lot of fun. There's a lot of very funny moments in the movie, but it still takes itself relatively seriously, and, like, you're able to invest in the character, the action. Again, a couple minor moments where I was drawn out of it with, again, like not being sure about, like, the villain's motivation and stuff like that. But overall, it was a very fun ride, a very fun time at the movies. I want to see it again. And, yeah, so that's what I have to say on Mission Impossible 5.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it. I mean, I've seen all of them. I don't know. Like, it's kind of interesting, though, too, because the first two were interesting because they sort of the style of them are sort of indicative of the directors that did it. Even the third one, but the thing I liked about Ghost Protocol so much is that it wasn't really like adhering to that. Like, they didn't do Brad Bird's style just to a T. It was kind of more just general. It felt like it had finally found its own feeling, kind of unique from the directors that do it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear you. I think that Christopher McQuarrie, like, I don't think it's, again, like, yeah, I think it's sort of similar in that he did a very good job with the movie, but it doesn't feel like 100% like a Christopher McQuarrie movie. Like, you can tell it's there, but it still feels mostly just like a Mission Impossible movie. Like, it has the tropes, it has the music, you know, it has the characters and the way that they're done, it has the spectacular action. And it's just really fun, and again, like, they say they're fast-tracking the sequel because they want to capitalize on the fact that the relationship between Ethan Hunt and Rebecca Ferguson's character was, like, it was really well done. And they said they want to capitalize on that and get the sequel out for 2017, so they want to get it, like, a two, which is faster than any other Mission Impossible turnaround, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. I think I said this on an earlier podcast, that Mission Impossible is one of those franchises that's almost, like, immune to franchise fatigue, because it's so simple. As long as they're agents and they're doing an impossible mission, you can basically just do these movies forever. It's like James Bond.
Right? I just mentioned Tom Cruise. Is there a mission in this movie? Yes. Is it impossible?
Yes.
Let me double check on that. Yes.
Yes. They're like, that's all you have to do. It's such a simple concept, and, like, you can have each movie sort of, like, be standalone. Right, which I'm like, okay, that's cool, right? So, but yeah, like, unlike, it was sort of interesting because there were sort of some people that were saying, like, oh, they're just gonna, like, what is it? It was because it's been a different girl for, like, the last three movies in a row now, and they're like, oh, they're just turning into Bond girls, which is sort of funny because both Maggie Q and Paula Patton were actually asked to come back, but their schedules were full, which is sort of funny. So I'm like, no, they actually wanted to bring those characters back, but they didn't. What the?
For those who remember Mission Impossible
2. Yeah, but anyway, but Rebecca Ferguson was fantastic in this movie. I was like, she played Black Widow in this movie, basically. And she did it way better than Scarlett Johansson ever did. Very unfortunate. Anyway, okay, so now let's get to emails! Oh my god.
Yeah, I sent you the emails we got this week. I totally forgot what they were, so I'm going to be in for a surprise.
Okay, so our first email is from Hamid, you know, because he is our Devin Ferracci's cat. He's our guy in the trash, in the dumpster, Bomb Gripper 420. Okay, so Hamid says, what?
New one.
Yeah. Hi, nerd. When Batman vs. Superman comes out, will you do preview coverage film as it hotly anticipated? Hamid.
And the thing is like, I'll try to paraphrase someone's email, but I never do that with him, just because I don't want to ruin the amazing humor that comes from typing emails.
Okay, well, yes, Hamid. When Batman vs. Superman come out, I guess, wait, what does preview coverage mean? Like, are we going to talk about,
I think it means, like, some, like, you know, like, IGN or whatever, they'll send people to, like, go see preview footage or go visit the set, like,
Well, I'm going to say is that I don't think people usually really care about us enough to ask. Like, if someone asked us, said, hey, Three Angry Nerds, do you want to come out and check it out? I'd be like, hell yeah. But they haven't asked us yet. We're not big enough yet, Hamid. But we will cover all the news, all the major news. We will talk about, I'm sure that as we get closer and closer to Batman vs. Superman release date, there's going to be a lot of news articles about it, and as they come along, we will cover it on the show. So, I hope that answers your question. Actually, for me, that question is pretty tame, so good job.
Yeah, good job for me.
Alright, so,
I finally put you in your place, you piece of shit.
Okay, so our next email is from Scott, and he has to say, hey nerds, if Three Angry Nerds was ever a media outlet like IGN or Badass Digest, haha, I guess he's making fun of Badass Digest. What would the offices / corporate culture be like, and could I apply, Scott? How would our offices look?
Yeah, what would our
They would be trashed. Just trashed.
They would be a disaster.
Yeah, I feel like it would just mainly be like Carlos and I, like, we have our own offices if we're like the big wigs. Then the Corey and Lucas, we would shove both of them into one cubicle and we'd have to, like,
no, they would have a couch. They would have a couch where Corey just sleeps.
Yeah. And then Corey would be like drunk out of his mind and Lucas is like trying to like come up with some crazy like musical number or something. And
yeah.
You know, Corey's just drinking, he's like, Corey, stop drinking.
There would be, and because I'm me, there would be just like fast food bags everywhere.
Oh yeah, like I feel like every day would be like pizza delivery.
Yeah, it would be a disaster. And could I apply? Well, I guess you could apply, Scott. Yeah, I mean, if you want to.
Well, Scott, you were the one that got us started on emails. You were the one that got this whole email thing going. So I would hire you as like an official email handler.
Yeah, you could handle our emails, right? So if you want to send a resume to us, if we ever get offices, if we ever get big enough to have an office, then yeah, absolutely, Scott, you could apply. We would probably hire you. All right. So next email is from Brandon. Brandon has to say, "Hi nerds, who should be the next Bond and why?" Brandon. Okay, so next James Bond. Well, I think we actually heard a bit of news about this. Wasn't it the rumor was that Idris Elba was up for Bond after Daniel Craig was done? Was that right?
It's been kind of mentioned before.
Okay. Cuz I actually think he could do a pretty good Bond. I'm not going to lie. I actually was really behind him when that rumor came out. I don't know what you think.
I personally prefer like Dan Stevens, but I kind of like him in general. I think he'd be great.
He's like Dan Stevens in everything. I thought you wanted Dan Stevens for Iron Fist.
Yeah, a lot of people want him for Iron Fist.
Okay.
It's up on American Netflix. So if you're in the UK or in Canada, you might have to unlock your Netflix to watch it. But The Guest is on Netflix, so if you haven't seen that movie yet, do check it out. It's an amazing movie.
Damn. But yeah, so as I was going to say, so Dan Stevens, I think that Idris Elba would do a really good job. So yeah, I'm going to go with that. Okay, so next is from Solomon. And Solomon has to say, "Hi nerds, he has a Mary Boff kill for us." Oh, this is good. All right, so his Mary Boff kill is a bunch of actresses who are all appearing in comic book films, and the three are Scarlett Johansson, Kate Mara, and Gal Gadot. So Curtis, you go first.
Oh shit, this is so tough. I'd have to kill Gal Gadot because I don't know what her English is like, and I don't want to deal with that. Like, I want to be like, I want to be like, hey, can you grab me a beer? Should I? No, just go grab me a beer.
That's like the worst accent I've ever heard.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, she would be totally incomprehensible.
I'm pretty sure she can speak English.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people are like, hey, your English is improving. I'm like, oh, I haven't heard it, so. A lot of people say their English is improving, and then they're like...
Well, I'm imagining she probably had to, like, if there was an issue, that she probably would have to work on it in time for Wonder Woman, right? So.
Yeah. I guess Kate Mara, I would... Wait, who were the other two? I forget.
Sorry. Scarlett Johansson and Kate Mara.
Okay. I would marry Kate Mara, because she seems like, alright. And then Scarlett Johansson, I would boff, just because... I don't want to, like, something tells me I wouldn't want to hang around too long with her, or I would just run and down it, and we'll just be like, bye, I'm out of here.
Okay, cool. Alright, so my turn. I'm actually going to agree with you on one of those. I would also marry Kate Mara. She actually seems like a really cool person. Like, I've actually read a few of, like, her interviews that, like, literally have, like, nothing to do with movies, just, like, about her life or whatever that she's done with photo shoots. She actually seems like a really cool person, and it was interesting because the fact that, like, when they put out the Fantastic Four cast, I mean, I've said this from the beginning, is that I really feel like she was just cast in, like, the wrong movie. Like, I really feel bad for her. Like genuinely feel bad. Like, I don't feel bad for the rest of the cast. I just don't care. But, like, for her specifically, I actually feel really bad. I really think that, like, again, like, given a good script, she actually could have been Susan Storm, because, like, when they put out those promotional images or whatever, and I know it was with, like, the crappy non-existent costumes, but, like, she really did look, I'm like, you know what, I could 100% buy her a Susan, and I actually think she's a really, like, really good-looking girl, and I'd be like, you know what, she seems like the sort of person that I could, like, hang out with, you know what I mean? Like, we could hang out on a couch and, like, watch hipstery movies and, like, eat popcorn, and, like, I feel like that's the foundation of a relationship. But anyway, but yeah, so that's who I would marry. I would buff Gal Gadot. I think she's kind of hot, so I would do it. And again, like, one night thing, I wouldn't have to deal with the accent if that was an issue. I don't really care. And so I guess by default, I'd have to kill Scarlett Johansson. I mean, like, I don't hate Scarlett Johansson. I just don't like her as Black Widow. That's the thing. So, sorry, Scarlett, you're dead. There you go.
If someone else has to play Black Widow in the Avengers.
Anyone? Rebecca Ferguson? Please? Please? Yeah. Basically anyone. Like, I was sort of thinking, like, what actresses have played Black Widow in other movies since she started?
Think of that chick from Zero Dark Thirty. She's really hot.
Wasn't there multiple chicks in Zero Dark Thirty? Are you talking about Jessica Chastain?
Yeah.
She could do it. Although she's been my pick for Medusa for a long time because they're doing an Inhumans movie, but she could do it. I could think of, what is it? So Rebecca Ferguson basically played Black Widow in Mission Impossible 5, so she should have been her. Kate Beckinsale basically played Black Widow in the Total Recall remake, so she could have played that. And Rosamund Pike basically played Black Widow in Gone Girl, so she could have been Black Widow. So any of those girls, any of them, I would have been fine with. Although actually, a lot of people have brought up Rosamund Pike that if they ever like make a Black Widow movie, or if they ever use Yelena Belova, that she could make a good Yelena Belova. And I was like, yeah, I could definitely see that. But anyway, so yeah, so that's all we have for emails this week. But so good job everybody for sending us those. So please send us more emails because we love answering your questions, right?
Yeah, and send a shout out to Carlos for running this podcast better than I ever do. So
thanks, Curtis. I tried to keep us aligned, but hey, you know.
I was actually kind of interested. I'm like, I wonder what Carlos' love podcast would be like, and it was actually very good.
Thanks, Chris.
I have my answer.
Actually, that's how about we pose that as a question for the people. So, what did you think of Carlos running the podcast? I know it's not really that different because, I mean, like, it's still just the two of us, like it is on a lot of episodes. But, like, did you like how I ran things? Like, do you like me doing all the things that Curtis normally does? I'm not saying that I want to take over, but I'm just saying is that, like, I was actually, we only found out that Curtis was going to be available about, like, 15 minutes before I was about to record, because I was trying to get like either Corey or Lucas on, but I didn't get any response. So I was willing to do a solo cast on all the news, because our numbers of people have gone really high, so I didn't want to miss another week. I didn't want to disappoint our viewers, so I was like, if I have to solo cast, I'll solo cast. But then Curtis got a mic in Scotland at like the last second from like the hotel desk, I think.
I was like, hey, do you have a microphone?
Yeah, so why don't you just send us an email for all, like, your regular listeners, you know, like, you've been emailing us on the regular, why don't you tell me what you think of me running it?
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Do let us know.
Alright, so, just, I guess, last-minute things, basically, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read my fanfic. And also keep an eye on our YouTube page because of the fact that probably within the next 7 days, there will be a video posted that will be my second episode of Doom's Domain where I'm going to be talking about Fantastic Four, so keep that in mind. Go see Mission Impossible Rogue Nation if you haven't seen it yet. Do not go see Fantastic Four Reboot, or at least don't pay for it. Like, if you're going to go, do what Curtis did and ask for his money back or, like, sneak in or something, right? But don't pay for it. If you're going to pay for a movie, go see Mission Impossible instead.
Wait till it's, like, on Netflix or something, then, like, it's never, like, they're not going to get money off that, or if they do, it'll be very little.
Yeah, exactly. And besides, by the time it's on Netflix, they'll have decided if they're doing a sequel or not, so it doesn't really matter at that point. Right?
Exactly.
Is there anything else that I missed, Curtis, that I should say at the end?
Brace yourselves for next week when we review Well, I think we'll also review True Detective next week as well, because that's...
Yeah, because True Detective is going to be over by that point, right? So we're going to review, like, the whole season?
We're going to review something that, well, pretty decent, I guess, True Detective. I'm sure people will have different opinions.
True Detective has been kind of up and down for me, not going to lie. Yeah. But, we'll talk about that then, and we'll also give...
I think it's been up and down, but we'll talk about that and then compare that to something that has just been scraping the bottom of the barrel for, like, the last little while. So we'll get both sides of the spectrum.
Yes. All right. Absolutely. All right. So thank you for listening, everybody, to the Three Angry Nerds podcast. Have a great rest of your week and see you later.
Or for more.